The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jane Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and we begin with this one from Woman's Day, Keep Your Bones Strong. Women are at higher risk of a fracture, and breaks are more likely to happen as you age. Here's your best defense. The dietitian says, what you eat really matters. Some research shows that the Mediterranean diet is best for healthy bones. It includes plenty of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, and some dairy, lean animal protein, olive oil, and nuts. Nutrients in this eating plan, like vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids, magnesium, vitamin A, and yes, calcium, contribute to bone health. It's best to get calcium from foods like dairy, leafy greens, almonds, white beans, and acorn squash. But if you can't, supplements are an option. Fewer foods supply vitamin D, so consider a supplement if you're not getting enough, which would be 400 to 800 IU daily, depending on your age. You'll want to avoid excess sodium, caffeine, alcohol, and phosphoric acid found in soda, as well as too much or too little protein, all of which can contribute to bone loss. That was Lisa K. DeWald, Program Manager of the McDonald Center for Obesity Prevention and Education at Villanova University, and M. Louise Patrick College of Nursing. The orthopedist says, do the right exercises consistently. We sometimes think of bone as solid and static like rock, but it is complex and continuously changing. Bone density and bone strength are influenced by not just nutrition, but also activity. Like muscle, bone is strengthened by use. If we don't use it, we lose it, as seen in astronauts, people on bed rest, and those who don't exercise regularly. Aim to include weight-bearing exercise, like walking, and strengthening exercises like push-ups and planks in your daily routine. To avoid falls, reinforce your balance by standing on each foot for 15 seconds every day. That by Anor Swoyer, MD, Director of the Skeletal Health Service Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of California, San Francisco. And the endocrinologist says menopause changes bone density. Estrogen is an important hormone when it comes to keeping women's bones healthy. But as estrogen production gradually decreases during menopause, bone loss can accelerate. That's why eating a healthy, balanced diet and doing exercises known to protect bones become increasingly important as you get older. Not all women need estrogen replacement therapy once they reach menopause, but if you're experiencing a lot of hot flashes or other menopause symptoms, you should talk to your doctor to see if estrogen replacement is the best option for you. Your doctor should also check your thyroid hormones and calcium levels at least once, because abnormal levels of either one can also weaken your bone structure. In that case, medications can help. And that was Marcio Grebeler, MD, endocrinologist at Cleveland Clinic. From Real Simple, 15 efforts that make most libraries even cooler than you knew. Some of my most enduring and cherished childhood memories revolve around the John F. Kennedy Memorial Library in Piscataway, New Jersey, a humble building just under an eight-minute bike ride from my house. I'd grab my backpack, strap on my helmet, and pedal furiously down the quiet streets and through a tangled grassy path until I emerged in the parking lot, skidded to a halt in the designated bike space, and headed inside for hours of browsing. There was no greater satisfaction than checking out a new batch of books and stuffing my backpack full to bursting. It felt like a miracle to have a place that contains so many worlds waiting to be discovered, all for free. Though, full disclosure, in my case, late fees were more the rule than the exception. For Yuri Morales, a Caldecott Honor-winning Mexican author and illustrator of Dreamers, Viva Frida, and other children's books, the library was an essential part of her experience after she immigrated to the U.S. with her infant son more than 25 years ago. Separated from her family and friends and struggling to learn English, Morales wandered into her local library in San Francisco and found a quiet refuge, free of judgment. I was lost. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, she says. at the library, and through the books, I learned about the things I loved. I learned how you live in a place like the U.S. I learned what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't realize until very recently what I was missing by only borrowing books, and how libraries have evolved with the times and adapted to their communities. If the traditional function of the library was providing a quiet space to read, it has already changed, says Eric Kleinberg, a sociologist and the author of Palaces for the People. They are centers of knowledge, but also community hubs and resilience centers. They are open to everyone and free for all in a world where nearly everything else has a price tag and a security gate. So, yes, chances are your local library is doing so much more than lending books. Read on for innovative programs across the country, plus the unexpected roles libraries play in their communities. Use this list as inspiration to dust off your library card, visit your branch, and find out what it's up to in your own backyard. First, streaming movies. See if your library is one of the thousands nationwide that offer Canopy, that's with a K, a movie streaming service for adults and kids. On most devices, it works just like Netflix, except it's free. Two, helping you find your roots. As genealogy tests on websites like 23andMe and Ancestry have exploded in popularity, libraries are ramping up their family tree building services. We can't all live near the world's largest genealogical library. That honor goes to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family History Library in Salt Lake City, which has 600,000 books, serials, and maps, 45 librarians, and 550 volunteers. But your local branch likely has some resources to get you started. Ask the service desk about Finding Your Roots events and whether someone on staff can help you investigate. 3. Teaching languages. Looking to learn Spanish or brush up on your French? Your library might host in-person classes or provide access to Mango, an online program and app with courses in more than 70 languages. 4. Bringing in the dogs. Stop by children's reading rooms across the country and you might be greeted by a surprising sight. Kids reading to four-legged friends. Through programs like Read With Me, Reading with Rover, and Happy Readers Library Dogs, registered therapy dogs listen to reluctant young readers as they practice their fluency. 5. Supporting the LGBTQ community. From labeling book spines with rainbow stickers to throwing events just for teens, libraries are finding creative ways to make LGBTQ patrons feel welcome. Of course, there's rich programming in large cities like New York and San Francisco, especially during Pride Month, which is now June. But plenty of important work is happening in smaller communities, too. Catherine Cutchell, collections manager at the Pack Memorial Library in Asheville, North Carolina, has curated exhibitions for Pride events and gathered oral histories, photos, and papers from her city's civil rights organizations. She points out that libraries help preserve local LGBTQ history. The most inspiring thing about the materials in our collection is to see the progress that's been made, Cutchell says. Our community is resilient, and that's reflected in all the material we collect. 6. Assisting the homeless. Approximately 568,000 people in the U.S. experienced homelessness on a single night in 2019, according to a report by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The demand for shelters often vastly exceeds supply, so some libraries are filling the void with comforts as simple as heat and air conditioning. In response to the prevalence of homelessness in its Central California community, the San Luis Obispo Library joined forces with a nonprofit, Shower the People, to host a van retrofitted with 3 showers on Sunday afternoons. The program was intended to run for only a few months, but it was so successful that, quote, we decided to continue with the partnership indefinitely, unquote, librarian Araceli Astorga says. The library invites staff from Transitions Mental Health Association to visit once a month and meet with anyone who needs counseling. The TMHA staff also teach librarians best practices for approaching agitated library visitors. Plus, all services at the library are free, no late fees. and people without a permanent residence can use the address of a local homeless services center to get a card. Everyone is welcome, and we convey this message to our community, Astorga says, by immediately addressing disruptive behavior as well as offering compassionate care. The library is doing its best to create a safe, dignified space for those experiencing homelessness. 7. Encouraging playtime. Children's areas aren't only for story time. They're increasingly being designed to promote play, which is important for early learning and development. You'll find everything from interactive toys to climbing walls. 8. Opening other doors. Your library card can be your ticket to museums, zoos, botanical gardens, parks, and more. This isn't just a major city thing either, although a New York, Chicago, or Miami public library card can get you into many top attractions. The Iowa Library's Adventure Pass program gives families and adults access to museums, gardens, and a skating rink. Rochester, New York's Very Important Places Pass provides discounted tickets to the city's Philharmonic and Theater. Hosting your next event, that's 9. Need a spot for your book club or even a baby shower? Your library might have free or low-cost spaces for rent. Call or drop by the front desk. 10. Offering up the upbeat. You might think you know everything your library lends out, but have you asked what unexpected treasures are available to borrow? Your library could fulfill a need you didn't even know you had. At the public library in Keokuk, Iowa, baking aficionados can check out cake pans in many shapes and sizes and share their creations with other patrons on a library-run Facebook page. The Arlington Public Library in Virginia lists 15 American Girl dolls in its catalog. Each doll comes with a carrying case, bed, and book. Several libraries across the country now have programs for green thumbs to borrow, grow, and share seeds. 11. Engaging the elderly. More than 40% of seniors in a national survey reported regularly feeling lonely. Books by mail and mobile libraries can be lifelines for the elderly, especially those who are homebound. In Missouri, the Springfield Green County Library has implemented another way to reach out, Stories for Life, a program for people with dementia and Alzheimer's, encourages patrons to converse, share stories, and enjoy books. Librarian Tysa Shea, manager of the Republic branch, helped establish this program in 2012 after her grandmother died due to complications from Alzheimer's. When we're going through that journey with her, there were definitely materials in the library that still resonated with her, she says. I read the Bible with her and poetry. I could tell it made a difference. More than 5,000 patrons have participated in the program since it launched. You see brightness coming back into their eyes, Shea says. They'll tell you, I may not remember this, but right now, this is great. 12. Personalizing your reading list. If you're excited about a book you saw on a most anticipated list, submit a purchase request online or in person at your library. Librarians want to carry books that people want to read. Also, they're good at recommending what to read next, so don't be shy when you can't decide. 13. Making music. I remember my childhood library in Piscataway as a quiet place, but it now hosts popular performances by jazz trios and other music groups. If we had an unlimited budget, we would have a regular concert program, librarian Melissa Schabel says. Some libraries even offer DIY options. The Seattle Public Library's Central Branch has two practice rooms, each equipped with a digital piano, that you can reserve for up to an hour. For those in need of an instrument, the Library of the Chathams in New Jersey lends acoustic guitars, ukuleles, flutes, trumpets, and more. And last, lending books without a visit. You don't need to physically visit the library to check out books. Download the Libby app. It's free for Apple and Android phones. Sync up your card and start borrowing e-books and audiobooks. It's just one more way libraries are making themselves accessible. From Better Homes and Gardens, bug off. Spring is here and so is flea and tick season. Learn how to best protect pets from these pests and what to do if they end up becoming unwelcome visitors. Fighting fleas. For flea control, you can choose between oral or topical meds or a collar, but vets advise using only one type of treatment. Don't mix. In general, oral meds aren't advised for pets who have seizures, and cats should never wear collars containing permethrin, which can be toxic to them. When you start treatment depends on when fleas are prevalent in your area. You can definitely start now here. If you're worried about chemicals, less is more, and you can use these products on an as-needed basis. If you want to go the natural route, there are products made with essential plant oils, but experts say they're not often as effective. Got fleas? Remove any fleas pronto. Brush out your pet's coat with a flea comb. Then give her a bath with a pet shampoo. Also consider a fast-acting oral treatment. Next, you have to treat your house. Wash the pet's bedding in hot water and vacuum everywhere. I mean, we're talking cushions, draperies, everything. You can sprinkle borax where fleas congregate, baseboards, under furniture, carpets. Keep pets out of those rooms for at least 48 hours and then vacuum after 12 to 48 hours. If the infestation is bad, you may need to fumigate. Also, talk to your vet about treating for tapeworms. Pets with fleas are at risk of those. Taking on ticks. In addition to a regular tick prevention regimen, again, you can choose between oral or topical meds or a collar. Stay on top of yard upkeep. Ticks prefer damp areas, tall grasses, and shrubs, so keep grass short. Trimming trees and bushes and raking up piles of leaves can go a long way toward minimizing the risk of a tick bite. A non-toxic way to kill ticks and fleas in the yard is to sprinkle diatomaceous earth, a powder made from fossilized algae. Check your pet's coat daily. On a dog, ticks are commonly found in ears, ear folds, and corners of the eyes, on the neck, between the toes, and the body and legs. On a cat, prime spots are the face and neck. Got a tick? The longer the tick stays attached, the higher the risk of transmitting disease, Richter says. Use tweezers or a tick-removing tool sold in pet stores to remove the entire tick without crushing or twisting it. Leaving any part of the tick could cause an infection. Call your vet. She may start your pet on an antibiotic to ward off any chance of a tick-borne illness developing, which can take months to show up on tests or cause symptoms. Watch for signs of illness, including lethargy and joint swelling, that can lead to limping. Moving now to some recipes. From Real Simple, Modern Mexican, refried bean and cheese melts. Active time and total time are both 15 minutes, and it serves 4. We need 2 demi baguettes or large hoagie rolls, split, 1 clove garlic, halved, 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, softened, 1 15.4-ounce can refried beans, warmed up, 6 ounces Manchego cheese grated, or about 1 3/4 cups, pico de gallo for serving, and dressed salad greens for serving. Preheat broiler with rack 6 inches from the heat. Arrange bread halves cut sides up on a baking sheet lined with aluminum foil. Broil until golden brown, 2 to 3 minutes. Watch carefully so bread doesn't burn. Remove from oven. Rub the cut sides of the bread with the cut sides of the garlic halves. Discard the garlic. Spread bread with butter, then with beans. Top with cheese, return to the oven. Broil until the cheese is bubbly and golden, about 3 minutes. Cut bread pieces in half on an angle. Serve with pico de gallo and greens. And another, zesty corn soup with chicken. Active time and total time, 20 minutes, and it serves 4. We need 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1/4 cup finely chopped fresh cilantro stems plus chopped leaves for serving, 1 clove garlic grated, preferably on a microplane, 1 10-ounce bag frozen corn, 1 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 3 cups chicken stock, 1/3 of a cup of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon lime zest, plus 2 tablespoons fresh juice from 1 lime, divided, 4 cups shredded rotisserie chicken, you should get enough from one chicken, grated cotija cheese for serving, and cayenne for serving. Melt butter in a saucepan over medium, add cilantro stems and garlic, cook, stirring often until fragrant, about 1 minute. Add corn and salt, stir to coat. Add stock and bring to a boil over high. Reduce heat to low and simmer, undisturbed, until flavors meld 8 to 10 minutes. Meanwhile, stir together the mayonnaise and lime zest in a small bowl. Remove saucepan from heat, stir in the lime juice and 1 tablespoon of the lime mayonnaise. Top the soup with chicken, cheese, chopped cilantro leaves, cayenne, and the remaining lime mayonnaise. That does sound tasty, doesn't it? From Better Homes and Gardens, sheet pan quiche. Skip the fuss of rolling and crimping pastry and instead pull out your trusty sheet pan. A press in the pan dough makes quick work of brunch for a crowd. And there are options here for making it the night before, too. I'll go over that at the end. First up, well, let's see. Hands-on time is 15 minutes. Your total time, 1 hour and 5. We need 2.5 cups all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons salt, 1 cup butter cut up, 1/4 to 1/3 of a cup ice water, 6 slices bacon, 2 medium sweet potatoes, about 8 ounces each, peeled and coarsely chopped, 1 cup chopped onion, 2 cloves garlic minced, 6 cups fresh baby spinach, 10 eggs, 2.5 cups milk, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh herbs. Preheat oven to 375. Grease a 15 by 10 inch baking pan. In a food processor, pulse to combine flour and the 2 teaspoons salt. Add butter. Pulse until mixture resembles fine crumbs. Add ice water 1 tablespoon at a time until the dough just starts to come together. Transfer dough to the prepared pan. No rolling required. Press dough firmly and evenly into the bottom of the pan. The egg mixture is going to cover any of your mistakes. Bake 10 minutes. Meanwhile, in an extra large skillet, cook bacon over medium until crisp. Move bacon to paper towels to drain, reserving drippings in skillet. Chop or crumble the bacon. Add potatoes, onion, and garlic to the skillet. Cook and stir for 5 to 6 minutes until potatoes are just tender. Gradually add spinach, stirring until just wilted. Spread spinach mixture evenly over the hot crust. In a large bowl, whisk together eggs, milk, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon ground black pepper. Stir in herbs. Slowly pour egg mixture over the spinach mixture. Sprinkle with bacon. Bake 40 to 45 minutes or until egg mixture appears set. Let cool 10 minutes, and this serves 12, or probably 6 really hungry people. To make the quiche the night before as a brunch, cook as directed, let it cool 30 minutes, then refrigerate overnight. Bake again in a 375 degree oven 15 minutes or until an instant read thermometer registers 165 degrees. Next, from Martha Stewart Living. Super sprigs, with its delicate stems and leaves, watercress often gets the garnish treatment, but nutritionally speaking, it offers far more than a sprinkle of peppery flavor. For a dose of antioxidants and calcium, harness it by the handful in these energizing recipes. And there are 3, and they all look pretty easy. First, a nourishing sip, watercress buttermilk cooler, active in total time 5 minutes. This makes 1 serving. 1 serving contains nearly 1/4 of your daily calcium requirement. In a blender, puree 1.5 cups packed chopped watercress, 3/4 cup buttermilk, and 1/4 teaspoon celery salt until smooth. Pour over ice and serve immediately. For a low-sodium sauté, how about watercress stir-fry? Heat a wok or cast iron skillet over high. Then, when wisps of smoke rise, swirl in 2 tablespoons vegetable oil. Add 2 teaspoons each ginger, minced ginger, and minced garlic. Cook until sizzling, 15 seconds. Add 2 bunches of watercress. You've already removed the thick stems. Season with kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. Cook, stirring until the greens collapse, about 2 minutes. Remove from heat. Toss with 2 teaspoons sesame oil. Serve topped with toasted sesame seeds. Total and active time are both 15 minutes, and this one serves 2. And for a clean lunch, watercress chopped salad. Active and total time are both 5 minutes. This is for 1 serving. We place a heap of chopped watercress in a bowl. Top with cooked edamame and chopped cucumber, celery, avocado, and green apple. Drizzle with fresh lemon juice and extra virgin olive oil to taste. Season with kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. From Good Housekeeping, potato salad with red onion vinaigrette. Active time is 15 minutes, total time is 30. We need 2 pounds baby yellow potatoes, kosher salt and pepper, half a medium red onion, finely chopped, 3 tablespoons white wine vinegar, 3 tablespoons olive oil, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, half cup frozen peas thawed, quarter cup fresh dill roughly chopped. Place potatoes in medium pot and cover with cold water. Bring to a boil. Add half of a tablespoon of salt. Reduce heat and simmer until just tender, 12 to 15 minutes. Meanwhile, toss onion with vinegar and a half teaspoon each salt and pepper and let sit, tossing occasionally. Drain potatoes and run under cold water to cool, then halve any that are large. Whisk oil and mustard into the vinegar mixture, add potatoes, and toss to coat. Fold in peas and dill, and this serves 6. From Good Housekeeping, don't overthink it. Secrets to Stress-Free Decision-Making, author Ann Bogle, and her book is called Don't Overthink It, reveals her method in her new book. First, forget perfection. A common cause of overthinking is having a perfectionist mindset. Your goal should be to make a good decision, not the best one. 2, question the potential outcome. Ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? The worst-case scenario is often not as bad as you imagine. This realization can help take off some of the pressure. And 3, set a time to worry. Our minds like to have a system they can trust, so give yours one. If you schedule 15 minutes a day to overthink, your brain will be less likely to nag you with those thoughts throughout the day. Even better, schedule that time for when you're walking a dog or running errands. A change of scenery can lead to a change in perspective. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.